If you would, please take your Bibles and find the book of Matthew, chapter 27. We'll start with verse 33. Matthew 27, 33. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And then verse 45. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama, sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And then if you would turn ahead to the book of John 19. John 19, 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine, vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he said, receive the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In the earlier days of our country, one great achievement was laying of the tracks for a transcontinental railroad. Over many years, the task was advanced at great difficulty and sacrifice. Finally, a ceremony was held at Promontory, Utah, May 10th, 1869, at which a golden spike was driven, uniting east and west. The crowds cheered. The news was spread, and this very simple message was sent to the media by telegraph. The message was, it is finished. This morning, I'd like to finish this series of sermons on the sufferings of Christ. It was on the cross that Jesus proclaimed, it is finished. So let's finish this morning by taking a closer look at the cross. Lord, I ask you, please, for your anointing, as always, during this time. Lord, we bow at the foot of the cross, and we just open up our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts to you, Lord, and speak to us, Father, please, of eternal things. Help us to see the cross. Help us to understand. And Lord, above all, may it empower us and strengthen us during our daily walk, Lord, that in it we can find hope and faith and power. To live for you, Lord, every day. And to witness for you, Lord. Amen. When you think about the cross meant the defeat of our enemy, Satan. Satan is the opposer and the enemy of God and his church. That's you and me. Peter wrote that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The fall of Satan from his exalted position as an angel is somewhat shrouded in mystery, but we get some snapshots in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 talk about Satan. Ezekiel tells us that Satan was full of wisdom and was exquisite in beauty. God appointed him to be a mighty angelic guardian. Satan was blameless until the day evil was found in him. Then Isaiah says that Satan wanted to occupy heaven. He wanted to rule over the angels. He wanted to rule over the universe, and he wanted to receive the glory that was for God alone. The Bible says that Satan's mission is to be the tempter, the wicked one, the enemy, the father of lies, the supreme deceiver. But Jesus died on the cross to defeat him. John writes, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." So for the cross meant the defeat of our enemy. It also meant the deliverance from sin. Paul told the Christians in Rome that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Remember, we said the word sin is a Roman army term. The Roman army would be out in the archery range, practicing, shooting at the bullseye. And every time they missed the bullseye, they failed to hit the bullseye. The word was sin. Sin means to fail. You shot and you missed, you sinned. You and I sin, we fail. When we fail to hit the target God has set for us, we fail, we sin. When we fail to do or be what God wants us to do or be. James put it this way, he said, "Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." And our sin separates us. It separates us from God. Isaiah 59, verse 1. "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things." Our sin separates us from God. And the penalty for sin is death. But on the cross, Jesus died in our place. He died to pay the penalty for our sins so we might be forgiven. On the cross, that gap between us and God, Jesus closed the gap when he died on the cross. And he arose from the dead to prove he could give us eternal life. Thus, the cross meant the doom of death. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The doom of death. Death frustrates us so much. You know, we can land a man on the moon. We can transplant heart, liver, lungs. I was watching Good Morning America this past week, and now they have a way. They can take some cells from your blood, and in this machine, and he showed it, they can grow you a new ear. They can grow body parts in this machine by taking some of your cells. Incredible. We can do all this stuff, but we can't cure death. We may postpone it. We might slow it down a little bit. We might cover up some of it sometimes, but it's always there waiting for us. Joe Biley wrote, "The door of the hearse is never closed. The door of the hearse is never closed." Death is always waiting for us. Physical death spares none. But for the Christian, death is the gateway to heaven. The resurrection of Jesus from the grave opened the door to heaven for all who believe in him. So the cross meant the defeat of our enemy Satan. It meant deliverance from sin. It means the doom of death. But what does it mean for Jesus? What does death mean for Jesus? We've been talking about his sufferings and how all these things have led up to the cross. What does it mean for him? It means that he had finished God's work. He says it is finished. He had finished God's work of salvation specifically. Remember, up to this point, animal sacrifices had to be made in the temple. Hebrews 9:22 says that the only way you can be forgiven, there has to be shedding of blood in order to be forgiven. So we have all these animal sacrifices happening. But Jesus became the final and ultimate sacrifice. He shed his blood for us. He paid the full penalty for our sins. With his death, the Jewish sacrificial system ended. With his death, the Jewish sacrificial system ended because Jesus took all sin upon himself. And since God's work of salvation was finally finished, so were the sufferings. On the cross, the sufferings finally ended. The prophecies of his sufferings have now been fulfilled. It is finished. But not for you and me. Not for you and me. Because we have been commanded to remember. We have been commanded to remember the sufferings. Jesus, before he died on the cross, as you remember, told his disciples to remember me, and he gave us two basic symbols, a cup and bread. And he said, I want you to remember my sufferings. Remember what I did for you. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. The Thursday after that is what we call Maundy Thursday. When we gather together, it's our tradition to gather together to have love feast and communion. To remember what happened. I want to remind you to remember. Can you remember to remember? We need to be here Maundy Thursday. It's a time when the body of Christ, the Gemeinschaft, the community of believers, our congregation gets together and remembers the sufferings. I know we're busy. We're too busy. I want to ask you on Thursday night, I don't know on Maundy Thursday what you have planned. I want to ask you to cancel it. And to be here. Because we need to be here. Because we need to remember. We need to remember. Let's pray. Father, we spent the last five Sundays talking about your son Jesus and the sufferings that he went through for us. And oh, how we are thankful. And it is vital that we remember. It is vital that we remember what happened, how it happened, when it happened, why it happened. So that we'll never forget. And it's vital that we say thank you as we remember. Lord, I pray for the Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. Dear God, I thank you so much for the many blessings you've bestowed upon this church family. I am so grateful to be part of this church family. Lord, it's time for us to remember. Lord, I do pray Maundy Thursday that we can all be here. That we can gather around the table. That we can wash feet. That we can take the cup and the bread. And remember. And be grateful. Thank you, Lord, so much for your time, for your blessings, for spending time with us, Lord, for loving us so much. Thank you that we could take the time to study your word, Lord. May empower us, your church. Amen.